It's time for our first feature. Ian Robertson has unearthed another story from his book of model articles penned by Eric Fowler. This one, published in December 1949, is called Mice and Murder.
Another essay from Jonathan Mardle. This one is Older Than Me, published in December 1949. Mice and Murder. During the war, some ingenious person invented a new kind of trap for rats. It consisted of an inclined plank with a delicately balanced platform at its upper end, to which bait was fastened. The idea was that the rat would run up the plank for the bait, and the platform would give way under his weight and drop him into a bucket of water where he would drown. The advantage of this over other forms of trap was said to be that, unlike the cage or spring trap, this one would not stop at catching a single rat. The first victim, having dropped into the bucket, the platform still baited, would return to its original position and, in theory, the trap would go on catching and drowning rats until either there were no more rats left or the bucket was full. The headquarters of a certain command, with its usual delightful solemnity in such matters, sent out a sort of manual of military rat-catching, containing a description of this device, together with working drawings, and units in charge of stores were ordered to construct and use such traps and report on the results. Our unit carpenter constructed one with elaborate care. Under the supervision of the commanding officer, the thing was sited tactically in a defile between the rice bags and the sugar. Wagging his head to express philosophic doubts, the aged storekeeper baited it. This thing, he said, was clever, and great was the wisdom of the staff which had invented it. If it were the will of Allah, it might, peradventure, even catch rats. A week went by, during which the trap was baited with the choicest dainties the quartermaster could provide, and set and reset in accordance with the highest principles of military strategy in such situations as were likely to delude the rats. The baits were untouched, and never a single carcass floated in the bucket. The commander officer then sent in his report. The trap, he said, might have had all the success that was claimed for it in European theatres of war, but our rats were Asiatic rats and were not educated up to it. He was reverting, until further orders, to the use of, in military parlance, traps, spring, Mark I. My household is now the prey of some highly educated European mice. If I had the ingenuity to construct one, I would build a military mouse trap for them on the model of the military rat trap. And if it caught nothing, it would not be for lack of the sophistication in the mice. In the beginning, we caught two vermin within a week with a primitive trap. But after those two tragedies, the rest of the mice learned all about spring traps. Not the choicest allurements of cheese, bacon rind, or bread and dripping, even when supplemented by a cunningly laid tray of oatmeal, will tempt them within range of the spring. They eat the oatmeal and then push the trap contemptuously to one side, out of the way of their favourite run, leaving the bait untouched. They like to spend their evenings in a warm cupboard near the fireplace, where they sit and chuckle after dashing across the floor and scaring the female part of the establishment into standing on chairs and clutching its skirts around its knees. When I come home, I am ordered to make a direct frontal attack on the position with the coal shovel, while the higher command, still standing on its chair, now serves as an observation post, shrieks information about the movements of the enemy. By my brutal and primitive methods, two more mice, probably raw recruits, have been done to death. Another very young mouse, a mere camp follower, fell to a tentative feminine dab with a poker at the corner behind the boiler. But the rest of them have now learned to slip out of the cupboard as soon as the door is opened, leading a noisy, heated and fruitless chase all around the kitchen walls and then go to ground in the scullery. One of their sanctuaries used to be the gas oven, and I now know why so many female murderers are poisoners, for it was a delicate, shrinking woman who recoiled from the idea of hitting a mouse with a coal shovel, but who turned on the tap of the oven and so scooped to chemical warfare. Two mice perished of carbon monoxide poisoning before the rest learned the trick. The next time it was tried, the mouse survived, and looking at the back of the oven, I found out why. There was a hole there, too small even for a mouse's body to pass through, but big enough for him to stick his nose in, and there he sat, breathing comparatively pure air, while the gas seeped out behind him into the scullery and nearly poisoned his would-be poisoners. Just to show how lively he was, he jumped out of the oven, climbed onto a shelf, and then up between the water pipe and the wall to a hole in the ceiling, where he hid, and waited till darkness fell before he descended again to raid the pantry. We sleek it cowrin timorous beastie, what a panic in thy breastie. Trust a Scot to touch the hard, practical, sensual Southern into sentiment. The lines come into my head whenever I have my mouse fairly cornered. How bright his eyes are, how delicate his ears, how smooth and graceful his little grey body. He earns his bread and cheese so much more hardily and adventurously than I. He lives so much more blamelessly, and he is a far more beautiful and agile creature. What right have I to murder him? And so the coal shuttle hesitates in its vengeful swoop, and he leaps away along the skirting board. It is not thus that war should be waged. I must get a cat, which can kill enthusiastically and blamelessly. For here is the feebleness of civilized man. He destroys, but he does not like to see what he destroys. Neither does he like to see himself in the act of destruction. Perhaps that is one reason why he makes war with aeroplanes and rockets.